Father Yahweh, we come before you. We thank you so much for all the wonderful blessings that you have given us. We know that all good things are from you, and that nothing that is good is from anywhere else. You supply all good things, Father, and we pray that you may bless us, that you may be with us, guide us, direct our ways. Be with this assembly, and be with those preaching and doing what we're doing here, helping others understand your truth. Father, we also pray not only for those here in this building, but also those watching online, and again, those worshiping in spirit and truth throughout this world. We know your people are scattered. We know there are many. So we pray that you be with each one, no matter where they're at, with location. And we thank you again for your blessings, for your provision. And most importantly, we thank you for Yahshua the Messiah. And it's through his name that we ask all this. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Again, it's good to be back here. It seems like it's been several weeks. I guess it has been about a month since I've actually been up here to speak. For today, I want to speak about strengthening your faith, or maybe you can say our faith in Yahweh. You know, one of the things we all share in common is that we all go through some sort of trials in this life. No one here is untouched by some sort of challenge. We've all lost something or someone or maybe some other challenge. During these times of adversity, it's important that we remain strong and we cultivate our faith. So again, today I want to talk about how we can strengthen our faith, give some tips on specifically how we can strengthen our faith and our conviction in our Father in heaven. But I want to first define what faith is and what faith is not, and also how it impacts our relationship with our Father in heaven. You know, there's very, very few things more important than faith. And I know it's not spoken really much here, but it's very, very important that we understand what faith is, again, what faith is not, and also how important it is in our relationship with the one we worship. So let's begin with Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and verses 1 through 3, it says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's the definition of faith. Goes on to say, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Notice that worlds, not just this world, but the universe, were framed by the word of Elohim, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So how does Scripture define faith? Well, let's look at the word faith itself in the Greek. Or this is from the Greek pistis. It literally means a persuasion or moral conviction. That's based on Strong's. So we find here that faith refers to a conviction or a belief. And we know here, based on this passage, it's a belief, obviously, in our Father in heaven. And I would extend that also to our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, believing in both of them. Now we also see here another word, and that is substance. Substance. This word is from the Greek hupostasis, refers to an assurance or confidence. So again, this is part of faith. As believers in the Messiah, we're to have confidence, we're to have conviction in the one we worship. Now realize, and I think this is so important, realize this is not just a simple belief. It's a deeply held personal persuasion that we all must hold. It's really a complete trust in the one we worship. That's what faith is. It's a complete trust, an utter and a complete trust in Almighty Yahweh. Now, we see an example here of faith. It says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yahweh. So this is an illustration of faith, the result of faith. You see, everything in this universe is a result or was a result of Yahweh and his son, Yahshua, the Messiah. Actually, we talked about this in the Bible study a little bit today in Proverbs, for instance, in Proverbs 30, verse 4, which, by the way, as I mentioned in the Bible study, this really is a pivotal passages for the Sacred Name Movement. For those who know the history, it was this passage that many of the, if you will, founders looked at and said, hey, you know, he has a name, his son has a name, we want to know what that name is. So that began the investigation into Yahweh and Yahshua's name, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Now, for those not familiar with this, let me read it. I think this is from the NIV. It says, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? Now listen to what it says. What is his name? and the name of his son. Tell me if you know. That's from the NIV again, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Notice Old Testament passage referencing both the father and son. So we believe that both the father and son had an active role in the creation. We actually looked at John chapter 1 in the Bible study. Very intriguing passage for those not familiar with it. So valuable with the topic of preexistence. Both the father and son had a role in this. You know, we find in Proverbs 8, verse 30, this is not going to be a preexistence message, by the way. I want to touch on it since we find it here. Proverbs 8, verse 30 defines Yahshua, describes him as a master builder. Master builder. The way I see it is Yahweh the Father, he was this great architect. He designed and planned all that we see. And the Son, then as we find in Scripture, he was the one who acted upon that architect or that plan, as we find within the Word. Now in verse 6, getting back to faith, we see how important faith is, based on, again, verse 6. I want to read that. Verse 6, Hebrews 11, says, "But without faith, it is impossible." Notice that word, impossible. It is impossible. It's not almost impossible. It says it is impossible. It is impossible to please him if we have no faith, it says. "For he that comes to Elohim," or comes to Yahweh, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So as believers, do we really believe in him and within his promises? It's not just in him, but also what he does, what he has given within his word. We see here that the only way to please him is to have this faith, to believe that he is, and to believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Remember again that faith is our conviction, it's our confidence in the one we worship. We must believe. You know, if we have doubt or disbelief in Yahweh, not only is our faith weak, but as we find here, we're not pleasing the one we worship, and that's a real serious thing. I want to emphasize here a point, and I've already made it, but I want to emphasize it. Not only must we believe in him, but we must also believe in his promises. You know, this includes any promises we find within the Word, especially, I believe, the one about receiving eternal life within his kingdom. Do we really believe in the promise of the resurrection? Do we really believe that when Yahshua comes back to claim this earth again, that he's going to resurrect the saints during his descent? Where this type of faith is an absolute for a believer Messiah. This, you know, we cannot call ourselves a believer if we do doubt with these promises we find within the Word. Without it, as we find here, we're not really fully pleasing him. And you know, it's a hard thing. You know, I think we all can say, yeah, we believe in Yahweh. But push comes to shove, do we really believe in the promises we find within his word? Or are there doubts within our mind that he's not going to return? Or maybe it's not completely correct. Or maybe what we're believing is not completely right. Or maybe this is all a fairy tale and, you know, we believe it but not 100%. Where is our faith? Again, faith is more than just a simple belief. It's a personal conviction, personal persuasion in the one we worship. You know, I believe there are Sabbath keepers out there who are faithfully keeping the Sabbath. They keep the feast days. They do all the right things on paper. But really, deep down, they have some serious doubts. They don't believe. They really don't believe. And that's why this message is so important. This is the difference between simply obeying him and having a personal relationship with him. And, you know, I'm not real big on this concept of personal relationship with him because, again, I think that's somewhat of a cop-out. But there is something to it, though, at the same time. We need to have a personal relationship with the one we worship. And that personal relationship is not through obeying him necessarily. It's through believing him, through having this conviction within him. You know, this is, again, the difference between those two points. While we must always obey him, always do his will, always follow him, we must also believe in him, be convicted of not only of his existence, but again, of all the promises we find within his word. The promise that someday Yahshua the Messiah is going to return. The promise that when he returns that we're going to be resurrected. The promise that when we're going to be resurrected that we're going to be changed from mortal to immortal. The promise that when we're changed from mortal to immortal that we're going to be in the kingdom for 1,000 years. And the promise that someday Yahweh the Father will return with his kingdom here on earth. That's faith. It's not just simply obeying the Sabbath. It's not keeping the feast days. It's not using the right names. That's part of it. But faith is being convicted and persuaded and knowing that what we're doing is right. Again, not based on obedience, but based on our personal conviction. Otherwise, I think we're simply going through the motions. And we don't have that relationship that we should. So again, personal relationship is very, very important based on Scripture. And we have that personal relationship not necessarily only by obeying. We certainly have to obey. But we also have to have a very deep, deep personal conviction and persuasion in the one we worship. I want to turn to James chapter 1, verse 6. He speaks a lot about what we find here in Hebrews. James 1, verse 6 through 7 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." So there's no doubt. There's no question. Nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh." So as we see here, our faith cannot be unwavering. As it says here, those who doubt or suffer from disbelief will receive nothing. And again, I just want to emphasize here the word nothing. Nothing from our Father in heaven. Not some things, not the majority, nothing. We must believe if we're going to receive these promises. You know, again, this is really what we saw and read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says we must believe in him and his promises if we're going to please him. Well, let me ask you this. Do we as believers really believe that he's able to see us through our personal trials? You know, we've all gone through personal trials. We've all had hard times, and maybe we're going through hard times. Do we believe that Yahweh can see us through those? You know, this is part of faith. Do we believe that he can mend our relationships? You know, we've all gone through trials, many of us, through relationships, whether it's friends or family. Do we believe that if we go to Yahweh and pray that he has the power and the ability to mend those relationships? Do we believe that he's able to offer redemption for our sins? That he can offer propitiation of our sins and transgressions? Do we believe that he's able to offer everlasting life in his kingdom? Again, for me, that's a big one, because I think really that's where the rubber meets the road, is do we really believe in the afterlife? Because I'm going to tell you now, there are many believers out there that really doubt that. They go through the motions, they do what's right, but they really don't believe in the promise of eternal life within Yahweh's kingdom. Now understand that if we're going to receive any of these great things, that we must, again, be persuaded, be convicted, have confidence in the one providing them. If we simply go through the motions without any personal connection, then we're wasting our time. You know, in this way, it works a lot like love. 1 Corinthians 13, most of you are familiar with this. There Paul says that, you know, we can give all our substance to the poor, and yet if we have no love, that it has gained us nothing. That act of charity is for naught unless we have true, sincere, agape love. Same thing with faith. If we don't really believe, if we're not really fully convicted, if we don't have a deep down personal relationship with him because we are persuaded that he exists, not only that he exists, but also that he can do all things, we're wasting our time. So we can obey Yah, we can do all the right things on paper, but without faith and that personal conviction, all those efforts at the end are really for nothing. So again, as we found in Hebrews, we find here that it's impossible to please the one we worship if we don't really believe. And again, I know it sounds very simple. It's a very, very simple concept. Do you believe? There's much more to it. And I think we need to really look deep down within each one of us, and we need to ask, do we really believe in the promises we find within our Father's Word? Or are we simply doing this because of our mother or father or brother or sister, whatever the case might be? Are we really personally deep down convicted and persuaded of what we believe and what we see within Yahweh's word? I want to spend a few minutes now talking about where we find faith in the Bible. You know, many people assume that faith is found in the New Testament only, that it's something that originated there in the New Testament. This isn't true. Faith was actually established long before in the Old. I want to look at an example of that. One of the greatest examples actually is in a book you probably are not too familiar with, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. It's a very short verse. Actually, this is not the entire verse, but it says here, "The just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. So we see here that faith is not only an important concept salvationally from the New Testament, but also from the Old. Habakkuk here confirms the need of living by faith. So what does he mean here when he says a just shall live by his faith? Or the word just comes from the Hebrew zadik, and it refers to a lawful or a righteous man. So we already see a connection here between obeying right and faith, a conviction. So just, again, zadik, refers to a lawful or righteous man. The word faith is derived from the Hebrew emunah, and Strong's defines this word literally. It says firmness, figuratively, is sincere, security, morally, fidelity. So what's the meaning of the word fidelity? You know, sometimes we see these terms, we're not quite sure what the words mean. So this word also can mean loyalty to Yahweh's word, faithfulness, or trustworthiness. So that's what Scripture says, that the righteous, the lawful man will trust, will be loyal to Almighty Yahweh. So you see, faith is more than a belief, it's an action, it's what we do. It's again remaining loyal to his word, being consistent in our devotion and our worship of him. So as we see here, faith really results in obeying his word, because again, we act upon our faith, and we see that in James 2. We're not going to turn there, but you know, we know what it says, many of us, that faith without works is what? Is dead. It's pointless. It's really worthless. There's no value to it. We must believe, and that belief generates results in an action. And here we know that it's obeying. You know, many in the faith, you know, they believe that faith and obedience to the commandments are opposing concepts, or that's not true. They're not opposing concepts. They are really, they're not contradictory. They are complementary. You know, now to emphasize here this connection between old and new, I'm not going to read it, but Paul quotes this passage in Romans 1, verse 17. He quotes this passage in Romans 1. So we see the foundation of faith, as Paul defines it in the New Testament, is really based on what we find in Habakkuk, what we find in the Old Testament. So we see here that the foundation of faith is not new, as many assume, but goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You know, the reality is, our Father in heaven, you know, it says in Malachi that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same desires, the same standards, the same code of ethics we find in the old, we find in the new. And the same is true also going backwards. What we find in the new, we also find in the old. Just as we find faith in the new, we also find faith in the old. It's not this New Testament phenomena of something that Yahweh's always wanted. He's always wanted his people to believe in him, to be persuaded and convicted of what he says within his word. I want to talk about faith and salvation. No one does this better than the Apostle Paul. Romans 3, verse 25, he explains how these two work together. He says there in Romans 3, 25 through 28, whom Elohim hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of Elohim, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Yahshua. So we find the word justified through Yahshua's blood, and he is a justifier. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. You see, you know, and we'll talk about this, but we can't boast, because listen, we're not saved, we're not redeemed because of our good works. We've all fallen short. None of us, not one person in this room or those listening, we're not worthy of salvation. We're only here because Yahshua died and paid the penalty for our sins. So we should not be boasting. It says, but what law of works? Nay. So no, he's not saying it's not by the law, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So we find here that Yahshua is our propitiation. What does that mean, by the way? Propitiation, it's a long word. Atoning victim is what that means. Atoning victim. So Yahshua here, he's our atoning victim. He died for sins. And again, we're going to be remembering that in just a few weeks through Passover, what he did, the horrific torture that he had to undergo because of our sins. But he died for our sins, and he justified us, as we find within the word. Now, what does Paul say in verse 28? I want to focus on this because so many people, they misunderstand the message Paul is conveying. He says here that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So what does he mean by this? For many people, they'll claim, look, Paul's drawing a distinction between obedience and faith, and that we are no longer justified or saved, that there's no reason, in other words, for us to obey. Is that true? Does faith nullify the commandments? I'm not going to read it, but, you know, we could have kept on going. In Romans 3, verse 20, 31, Paul says, you know, do we make void the law through faith? He says, no, no. He says, we establish the law. So, you know, Paul sort of answers his own question. But I don't want to read that. I want to explain the concept. So how does this work? Justification without the law. And then we still need to obey. Why? Why do we need to obey if we're justified through Yahweh's law or through Yahweh's faith? Well, there's two concepts, two terms. One is justification, and I'll define that. The other is sanctification. So important that we understand those two terms. The word justification comes from the Greek dikaiosis, and according to Strong's, means an acquittal for Messiah's sake. That's how Strong's defines that, an acquittal. You know, when someone is acquitted, they are released from their sin or their transgression that they had committed. In the same way, when we're immersed or baptized into Yahshua's name, our sins are washed away and forgiven, right? That's what we find in Scripture. When we are baptized into Yahshua's name, we are acquitted, we are washed, we are justified, we are redeemed from our sins. This is what it means to be justified. Now, what about the word sanctification? This comes from the Greek hagiosmos. According to the Thersric lexicon, it says, quote, the effect of consecration. It also goes on to say, quote, sanctification of heart and life. Now, another word for consecration, because many of us, again, it's one of those words we're probably not real familiar with. Consecration basically means holiness, that we are called to live a holy life. How do you suppose we do this? How do you suppose we live a holy, consecrated life based on Scripture? Well, it's real simple. We obey the commandments. We do our Father's will. It's no different. I know, you know, it's amazing because us parents, we can understand this. When we tell our parents or our kids something, we expect them to obey us. And we tell them something for a reason. It's for their good. And we know that's the same thing true for Yahweh's word. Yahweh doesn't give us commandments for our as a punishment or because they're negative. They're positive. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. And we need to understand that. So we are sanctified by obeying our Father in heaven. That's how we achieve holiness based on Yahweh's word. And, you know, some people say, oh, we could never be holy. And it's, you know, so let's not try. Well, that's not what Scripture says. You know, Scripture says to be holy because Yahweh is holy. You see, we're to follow in his footsteps. We're to do as he did and does. We're to live as he wants us to live. And that is, again, a life of holiness, a life set apart, a life in compliance to his will. And that's really all we're saying with obedience. We're simply complying to his word. What's wrong with complying with the word of the one we worship? That's amazing how many people have an issue with that. How many people, they'll hear, ooh, obedience is this awful thing. No, it's simply the way we show our compliance and our love to the one we follow. Not real hard. So I want to recap for just a few moments, because we're going to look at now some specific ways to increase our faith. But before that, here's a summary for you. So faith is defined as what? It's defined as a conviction and confidence and involves a personal connection with the one we worship. Again, it's not simply, oh, I believe. It's having this deep down conviction that we know we're 100% fully persuaded that he exists. And not only that he exists, but if he says something within his word, we know that he can deliver upon that promise. Without faith, it is impossible to please the one we worship or our Father in heaven. We know that. And again, as we saw from James, it's like, you know, being tossed to and fro with a sea. It gains us nothing. Faith is not a New Testament concept, it's important to understand, but was first established in the Old, just like grace, by the way. We know that Noah found grace in Yahweh's eyes. Grace is not a New Testament kind. It's amazing how so many theologians, they miss these very important points. And again, here the last one, salvation begins by having faith in Yahshua, the Messiah, resulting in baptism into his name. And that is when we're really justified from our sins, by the way. See, faith brings us to Yahshua, brings us to Yahweh, which really in the end brings us to baptism, justification of our sins through that propitiation or that atoning victim through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. I'd like to spend the rest of this message talking about a man we're all familiar with, and that is Abraham, the father of the faithful. You know, this guy was an incredible man. He really did some incredible things. And if we want an example, an illustration, someone to look to of what faith is, I don't know of a better example, maybe besides, obviously, Yahshua the Messiah, but this man really did some incredible things and made some incredible sacrifices, which we'll talk about through this message. So I want to begin actually by talking or by reading something Paul said in the New Testament, Romans 4, 18 through 22. Paul says, "Who against hope?" So, you know, in other words, what he's saying there is there really wasn't any hope. There really wasn't any hope, but he believed anyway. He had hope anyway. "That he might become the father of many nations." Of course, this was through his son Isaac. "According to what was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith," and in other words, there is no doubt, "he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old." Imagine that, 100-year-old man getting this promise. Okay, you're going to have a kid. "Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." In other words, she was beyond childbearing years. "He staggered not." There was no tripping. There was no doubting. There was no questioning. "And the promise of Elohim through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to Elohim and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now remind me, how old was Abraham and Sarah when they conceived Isaac? Or again, he was 100 and she was 90. How many folks do you know who's conceived at 100 or 90 years old? You know, I think we can all say no one in this room could provide an example of this. You see, this is physically impossible. You can't, at least I don't think you can. I don't know of any examples where a lady can have a child at 100 or 90, in this case, years old. But you know, even though Abraham knew that there was no hope, even though he knew that Sarah was beyond her years, we find here that he still believed. Think about that. Think about, you know, what you, you know, if Yahweh came to you at 90 years old and he said, "I'm going to give you a child." You know, what would go through your mind? Maybe that's why Sarah laughed. In verse 21, I really like this phrase. It says there that Abraham was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that Yahweh could and would deliver upon his promise. Now this phrase, fully persuaded in the Greek, it means to be completely assured, to be fully convinced. This means that there was no doubt with Abraham. He didn't question, he didn't stagger. He wasn't saying, "Yeah, maybe, we'll see." Now there was no "we'll see." Yahweh said it, he believed it. And sure enough, within Yahweh's time, it happened. He had no doubt, he was fully convinced that Yahweh could, and again would, deliver upon his promise, and we know he did precisely this. You know, he realized that even though it was physically impossible, that through Yahweh was possible. In other words, you know, here's how I like to say this. He believed that the impossible was possible through Yahweh. And I think that's a lesson for us, to realize and to understand that the impossible is possible through our Father in heaven. Listen, there's nothing he cannot do. There's no limit beyond his power. There's no boundary he cannot accomplish. Abraham knew this, and for this reason, as we find in Scripture, he's called his father of the faithful. I mean, this guy, again, just did some remarkable things. Matter of fact, I believe that we can find many, many lessons on how to strengthen our own faith through this man named Abraham. So let's look at some examples. And I want to really begin with his journey. I want to begin with his journey. We know that Abraham was commanded by Yahweh to leave his father, to leave his mother, to leave his friends, to leave his family, to leave his birthplace, to leave everything he knew, and go to a place he knew nothing about. Now, this first step to Abraham's journey required a great deal of faith. He had to trust enough in Yahweh to leave everything he knew, again, to leave his family, to leave those things he was comfortable with, and go to a place he was completely unfamiliar with. He knew nothing about. Think about it. Think about how this one action required incredible faith by this man. You know, how many of us, if Yahweh said, leave your family, go to Africa, you know, how many of us would do that? How many of us would, not even Africa, you know, now we can look it up on the internet. You know, if we knew nothing about this place, and yet Yahweh says, go, leave everything you know. Leave everything that's dear to you. Leave everything that you love and go. How many of us would do that? So I think, you know, we see a great lesson here, and that is one way to increase our faith is by completely trusting in Yahweh. Completely trusting in Yahweh. And as we see here, it's not only trusting with the small things, but also the big things. You know, it's hard sometimes to, make these big jumps in life. We're afraid. But if Yahweh's directing us to do something, and certainly if it's in compliance to his will, I believe we can assume that it's based on his will. You know, I'll give you an example for me. As I left my state job after about 14 years, and this was a big step. You know, I left the thought or the hope, actually the guarantee of an early retirement and a part of my pension. But, you know, as a minister, you don't really retire anyway. The best hope is you just sort of die preaching. So we'll see what works out in my case. Just maybe fall over one of these years as I'm preaching. Now, I know we have all our own stories. You know, we have our own accounts, how we made decisions in life for Yahweh and his word. And I think this is an example of faith. You know, maybe your employer gave you a choice. He says, look, you know, either work on Sabbath or look for another job. You know, we've gone through that. And I know many of you, you've said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to obey the Sabbath, and you lost your job. But here's the thing. I've also seen in many of these cases where things turn out better in the end than they were in the beginning. And it's hard for us to see that. You know, like Abraham, I mean, here he's packing all this stuff. He's going. He has no clue. But we know in the end that he was better off for his decision. We know that his family were not really believers. The area where they were not believers, and he had to get out of there. And he was better committed to his Father in heaven because of what he had done. So again, he's going to bless us. You know, I've known many believers, again, to give up good careers to follow Yahweh, and it's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. And you know, the other thing too is when you really look at life and examine life and realize that this life is only a small little snapshot of our existence, if we're found worthy enough in the kingdom, so what does it matter if we go through some trials in this life? Because in the end, what we're really seeking for is a better life, a new life. And I often like to think of this life as a test anyway, is again, it's our opportunity to show Yahweh that we deserve his salvation. That's really what it is. It's our opportunity to show Yahweh that, hey, we want to obey you. We want to do your will. We want to be in your kingdom. We want salvation. We want eternal life through your son. That's really what it's all about. So we need to keep that perspective and realize that this is not the end. Now we know later on that Abraham was tested by Yahweh. He was asked by Yahweh to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, we find in Scripture that Abraham was only seconds away. I mean, just bringing that down that knife and slitting his throat, the throat of his own son. And an angel spoke out and stopped Abraham from doing this. In this example, we find, though, that he was willing. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. And believe me, there wasn't any loss of love on Abraham's part. Now, for us parents, can you imagine how hard this would be if Yahweh came to us? If Yahweh came to us and said, look, I want to see how much you really trust in me. If you really believe in me, if you really have faith, go offer your only son as a burnt offering to me. How many of us would do that? You know, I would say that nobody in this room could do that. And that's what makes Abraham so unique. That's what makes this man such a great example, is he was able to do things that the vast majority could not. There was nothing this man would not do. You know, I imagine Abraham walking up Mount Moriah with his son, knowing that he probably only had maybe a few hours with him before he would have to take the life of his own son. This is faith. Now, we also know in Hebrews 11, and this sort of gives me some encouragement. It's a real hard story to understand, but Hebrews 11 says that he believed that if Yahweh took his life, that Yahweh could also resurrect him. But again, that was a sign of faith. He was fully persuaded, fully convinced that Yahweh could and would deliver upon his promise. So another way of strengthening our faith is being willing to sacrifice. And not just simple sacrifices, but sacrifice everything for the one we worship. And again, as we see here, there's not a greater sacrifice than what Abraham did. And we must too be willing to sacrifice whatever Yahweh asks of us. We must be willing to fully and completely give of ourselves, our stuff, whatever he wants, to sacrifice and give to him. You know, when it comes to the commandments, I'm not going to dwell on this, but you know, there really is no better example than for tithing. It's hard. A lot of people, most people don't tithe, even those who call on Yahweh's name. But Yahweh says, give 10% to me as holy to me. And it's hard. And for some people, it's even harder because I know they struggle financially. But Yahweh says to do it. And you know, I believe if anything, tithing is an indication of our heart and commitment to Yahweh. And if we're not doing it, I don't believe we can say we're fully convicted, can fully persuaded, fully convinced in our Father in heaven because we're holding back on him. I think this is one reason why the poor widow in the New Testament gave in everything she had. And Yahweh really said, you know, pointed her out. That was a real notable example in Yahshua's eyes. Yahshua looked at her and really exemplified her decision and her action. So again, one way to strengthen our faith is to sacrifice for the one we worship. And again, it's not these small sacrifices. It's being willing to sacrifice anything and everything. Because again, you know, look to Abraham. What a wonderful example this man gave. You know, Yahweh stopped him. He did not have to sacrifice his son. But the point is, he was willing to. That's how deep his faith was. He was willing to give up the most precious thing. And believe me, as a father I know, as a father of two daughters, I know. I know how precious your children are. I know because I would not think twice about giving my own life for my daughters or my wife. And to know what Abraham was willing to do is beyond what we, most of us, would be willing to do. And yet that's the example I believe we can look to if we really want to strengthen our faith. You know, some people, I've heard people say they've prayed for like the patience of Job and they have to pray against us. No, enough. You know, I don't want it. And this is sort of the same thing. You know, faith, it sounds like a very simple thing. But to really garner and strengthen and develop our faith, we must be willing to go all the way with his word. We must be willing to fully trust him. And also fully and completely sacrifice for him. Well, let me give you another example. Sometimes, you know, coming to the faith requires that we leave family or friends behind. This isn't easy. You know, I've known many believers who've shared with me that they had to walk away from old friends, that they had to leave those they loved. Well, here's another example. Before coming to the faith, our favorite day of the year was Christmas dinner with our family. Well, you know, as a believer, we can't do this. We can't have Christmas dinner with our family. We can't engage in pagan observances, even if it is just a simple dinner, if it's connected with Christmas or anything of that sort. You know, I've known people crying. They've called me. They've crying to cry and express how hard it was to share with their family, you know, look, I can't do Christmas anymore. I can't do Easter anymore. I can't do these things. For people, this is a major sacrifice. And as believers, this is, again, how we develop our faith. We sacrifice for the one we worship. You know, it's not easy, but I guarantee it's worth the effort. Those of us that are willing to sacrifice, no matter what it is, it's worth it. Because, again, this life is short anyway. And if we're found worthy because we were fully committed to the one we worshiped, then everything else was for naught anyway. Oh, wait, another example. We already talked about this from the book of Romans. Again, it's the account of Sarah and Abraham bearing at an old age. Again, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. Sarah was beyond her years, physically could not deliver a baby or conceive a baby, and yet we know she did. And Abraham believed this. Abraham, as soon as Yahweh told Abraham, look, this is what's going to happen, he was fully persuaded, as Scripture says. He was convinced this was going to happen, even though he knew that it was really physically impossible. He again understood that Yahweh had a way of making the impossible possible. And again, I think this is another way we strengthen our faith. And I would say this is probably the hardest of all three. You know, it's not easy to trust in Yahweh with the big things, with the large things, with the significant life decisions. It's not easy to sacrifice everything for our Father in heaven. But it's even harder to believe of the things that we view impossible are indeed possible. But here's the thing. What may be impossible for us is not impossible for the one we worship. Yahweh is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. There is nothing beyond his ability. So we need to understand that because he is omnipotent, there is nothing beyond his power. You know, in the past, I've said that Yahweh is a way of making the impossible possible. I kind of like that slogan, impossible possible. I it just sounds, you know, nice and certainly true. If we want to strengthen our faith, we can look at things in human terms. You know, we must not view faith in Yahweh from our ability. You know, sometimes we look at it from the sense of what we can do, what we can accomplish, or maybe what the doctor can accomplish. And look, there's nothing beyond his ability. If we know someone's sick, dying of cancer, or maybe Yahweh's not going to save them, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have the ability to save them. Maybe someone is just the most horrible person you've ever met, and you see no chance of them receiving eternal life in his kingdom. And maybe you're right. They're not going to receive eternal life in their kingdom. But maybe you're wrong, because Yahweh is bigger and better and stronger and more wiser and just more powerful and all-knowing than we are. There's nothing beyond his ability. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. So another way to strengthen our faith is by doing what? Is by believing that the impossible is possible. There's nothing beyond. You know, who was it that caused the day to stop? The sun. I mean, think about it, you know. That's impossible, and yet it happened through faith. So I want to review one more time three steps to increase our faith. One, we must trust in Yahweh, and we must trust not only in the small things, but also in the big things. Two, be willing to sacrifice everything for him, including, again, the big sacrifices. Number three, we must believe in the impossible. If we do these things, I believe we will really strengthen and develop our faith. But, you know, believe me when I say this is not easy. I wish we could simply pray to Yahweh and says, Yahweh, give me strong faith. You know, give me the faith of Abraham. And it doesn't work that way, because Abraham had to show his faith throughout his entire life by his actions, by what he did. And Yahweh strengthened his faith when he followed him. And the same thing is true for us. It's no different, you know. Faith is a lot like character. You know, we build our character by going through trials and tribulations. If we never go through trials or tribulations, we never have an opportunity to build character. Or the same is true for our faith. If we never go through some sort of challenge or something in life, we never have that ability to build or increase our faith. For those who are able to do it, again, it's not going to be easy, but it's worth the effort. I really do believe if we are here not simply to be robots and obey what Yahweh says, but to have that personal relationship with him. But again, that requires everything we've talked about today. That requires, again, trusting and sacrificing and believing in him completely as Abraham did. When we have faith, I believe that everything in this life sort of falls in place anyway, because, again, our perspective is right. When our perspective is right, we realize what's important, what's not, and what's not important in this life. We realize that the things people are so concerned about so often are not that important. We realize that Yahweh's word is the most important part. And believe me, when we do this, he's going to bless us for that. So I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. I would pray and hope that we would seek faith, that we would seek to strengthen our conviction, our persuasion, our reliance, our trust in the one we worship. But again, it's simply not saying, I believe him. It's more than this. It's being willing to put our trust and our confidence in him. When we realize that Yahweh is taking us in a direction that we're willing to step out in faith because we believe that he's going to bring us to good things. He's going to bring us to a promised land as he did with Abraham and his descendants. Again, that we're willing to make sacrifices, and not just any sacrifices, but we're willing to make whatever sacrifices that his word requires. So if we have to give up our family, if we have to give up our job, it doesn't matter what it is. Yahweh's worth it. And again, the last is we need to believe that he can do all things. And he can. He really can. And I know we all struggle with that. I struggle with that. I'm not exempt from it. I struggle. But I really do believe that he is omniscient. He can do all things. He knows all things. And we just have to believe that enough to rely on him. And listen, if Yahweh's will is to cure that person of cancer or bring that person again to the faith, he can do it. So let's believe in him and let's have faith and let's seek him always, because again, that's the only thing that really counts in this life is Yahweh and our relationship with him. May Yahweh bless you. Thank you.